Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Well, hello. This is the Phil and Bill Show, and as most people know, Bill's got some family problems. Well, medical issues with his wife and his mother. So Hanks approached me the other day about some pretty good information. And Hank, you're unmuted. This is Hammer and Hank. He's from the East Coast. And from time to time, I ask Hank to join me here, and we talk about important things. And take it from there, brother.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's an honor to be on the Phil and Bill Show, Bikers of America. And of course, an honor to talk to you guys out there, where it might be nice and warm or even stormy and warm, because up here, we're freezing our asses off, all right? I just walked through knee-high snow way up in the Adirondacks, man, and more is coming on the way. But, Phil?
Yeah?
Before I start anything, there's an issue that you know about and you helped promote. That's very important, and I was a little disturbed to go back to that article that I did. For folks know, you go to www.theheritagevoice.us and look up the article, Freedom to Travel, Controlled by Nefarious Means. And this talks about the government and how you don't hear anything about it. They're letting in all kinds of terrorists. They're letting family and friends of terrorists. They even, you know, lax things a little in the immigration laws to allow people in who gave comfort to terrorists. Now, remember, the same comfort they're giving to the terrorists, these terrorists were killing soldiers, U.S. soldiers and shit like this, but that don't matter to this kind of administration today, all right? And this ain't about politics. This is about making moves. The people always need to speak out, all right? That's why there's a stalemate on the Second Amendment situation going on all over the United States, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this particular case has to do with issuing a visa for friends, family, and associates that attend Cisco's, Elliot's, Valderrama funeral. Now, Cisco, all right, is an ancient member of 81. Well, that shouldn't matter.
No.
You know, he passed away. He's a very important part of the American biker culture and the history of that culture. Right?
Absolutely. That was a shitty deal.
Yes. Now, there are thousands of bikers outside the United States who merely went over there to visit. There's thousands of friends, family over there who has family here. They're not allowed to re-enter the United States. They got trapped off over there. This is what people ain't aware of. They're trapping off bikers that are U.S. citizens, and guarantee me, they didn't do it based on record. They did it based on association primarily. Association. I wouldn't associate myself with anybody in fucking Washington, D.C., would you?
No.
Would you, Phil?
No.
I wouldn't hang out with the state police and have dinner with them and shit like this, would you?
No. I'd stand outside the restaurant and give them the bird.
You know, and it's not knocking them people, I mean, you know, even though they're destroying everything, I'm not from them. I'm not with them. But because we're not from them and with them, we can't be who we are, and people can't have a fucking culture and heritage here in the United States. You got to be how these motherfuckers want you to be, right?
That's up.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So if people go right now, what we needed was 100 or 10,000 signatures, actually. Well, let me make sure of that. Yes, that's all we needed, was 10,000 signatures to allow this petition to be taken to Washington, change.org, all right? And it's posted right now. If you go to Facebook and you type in Hank, H-A-N-K, McGrath, M small c, capital G-R-A-T-H, right away, you go to my page, you'll see the link, and I'm sure Phil will grab it again and put it out there. Because guess what? We only need 302 signatures. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
302 signatures. And this matter can be brought to the White House. Okay? So that was my beef. I mean, what do you got to say about it, Phil?
You know, I get people, Hank, you wouldn't believe the phone calls I get. I got a call the other day from a guy. I'm in Canada, and I'd like to get, I'd like to go to the clubhouse, and I need contact information. And the guy got offended when I told him, go to your local motorcycle shop and look for a flyer and attend an event. Well, I'm going to call somebody. Well, sorry, it doesn't work like that. You can't just show up and, you know, think you're going to be the hot shit on the block. It ain't going to work like that. You have to be invited, as you know, Hank.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in this case with Cisco, right, this is not just the Cisco situation. This is all citizens. If Hank McGrath, Phil, I'm telling you, if you leave the country, they can flip the script on you, and you'll get a surprise at the airport on the way back. They're doing it to anybody. They're doing it to anybody for any reason, and it has to be stopped. It has to be looked into, and it has to be stopped. And the only way right now is through this petition.
Well, that too, and what happens, Hank, is say you, me, and Bill are standing in front of Bill's shop on the corner, and cop drives by. Hey, I see these. Picks up the radio, calls in, and I got these three interesting characters. Two of them are felons, and one guy's a straight guy. And I think we need to check this out. So send me a backup car. Now, because two guys are ex-felons, nobody's on probation. First thing the man says before, he doesn't even say hello, he said, anybody here on Fourth Amendment waivers?
Yeah.
And then you're like, the fuck are you talking about? We're standing in front of a motorcycle shop talking about a motorcycle. Well, you guys look suspicious. So do you, hiding over there under the bush. You know, I had an interesting one the other day where the guy pulled me over and he was talking to me about, because I wouldn't take off my helmet. And I was wearing a full face with a dark shield, so I had it open at the bottom a half inch. So he's like, I said, well, how do you like living up there in Temecula? He goes, how do you know I live in Temecula? I said, you just told me. So I started flipping the script on him. But what scares the most is when you know you know your rights, that's when you can control it. Like Bill says, the first 30 to 45 seconds are going to tell you which way it's going to go.
Well, that's why it's important for the other news that we were going to bring up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this just because this stuff is happening on the West Coast doesn't mean, or the East Coast over here, and you guys are on the West Coast. Everything that BAD does, Bikers Against Discrimination, and of course, Phil is a member and helps us out there, and we stay informed of what's going on. It has to do with the American biker culture worldwide, meaning every move we make is with that thought in mind, not with a club, not with a group, not with a BRO, or not with a, you know what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
What Brad sees is that there's too much ego involved every year, too much ego. You know what I mean? What the hell, man? We're all suffering the same thing. I don't give a fuck about pipes, helmets, and fucking the rest of the shit. What we care about is you're not second-class citizens. You fight for the culture, and you get equal rights as everyone else. Now, one brother looked at me, and he says, you know something? Some of us may do wrong. What about the victims? You see, he was being righteous, saying some of us may do wrong. But the point is, in everything, in every family, there's a black sheep. Come on, let's snap out of it. You don't take one circumstance and attack an entire group over that. You know what I mean?
Another problem,
Phil, all right, is these holier-than-thou groups, all right, and I'm on the outside. So if I'm offensive, I'm offensive. I have to make the point of reality. I'm better than 81, or I'm better than this club. Then people are coming. All you're doing as citizens is solidifying a bunch of bullshit and propaganda the government created 50 years ago.
That's correct.
Just making believe. You don't even know these people. You don't go to their events and give them support, right? You don't see them in tears, or you don't see their heart pain or their hardships or them helping other people. You don't give a fuck. See, it's all about feeling good by putting somebody else down. And so you've got, actually, people involved in the biker culture who spend all day doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. Representing the government like they're true citizens, right? All right. Look at the citizenship today, Philip. A whole bunch of mad motherfuckers over the guns. A whole bunch of people mad over immigration. The citizens are elbow to elbow with the people they've been putting down all this time. Those biker clubs and those biker groups and those riding groups that all want to make believe, you know, that AMA is righteous and all these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? You're all elbow to elbow now with the very people you were calling criminals. You're a criminal now, too.
Yep.
The government doesn't like you either. So it's time we all start fighting together here. You see what I mean? You want to pick on somebody. If a citizen or a club or a group wants to pick on somebody, pick on the government. I challenge you. Challenge the government. Go for it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be behind you now. You know, the gun rights folks and all these people, they're going to be behind them. So, you know?
Yeah.
We have to fight for each other. At the same time, look, I get tired every year when I see people doing these runs for little kids. This is great and wondrous, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder why these organizations for little kids don't stand up and support these corporations and these power groups and these politicians don't stand up and support bikers. Number two, last Friday, a Muslim caucus was created in Washington, D.C.
I heard that.
Yeah, anybody look up the word caucus, and that's a political group, political entity with political intent to sit down with Congress whenever they want to talk about issues to change the political nature of the blah, 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 mental masturbation. All right? All right. With all these fucking groups that existed for 100 years representing bikers' rights, where the fuck is the motorcyclist caucus? Where's the bikers' caucus?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see some flex, some power here. Put some tattoos and muscles on that shit.
Well, you know, they had that
power going on here.
Yeah. It's like this, though, Hank. Everybody hears what's going on in Australia. Then it goes to Canada. What they don't realize is it comes here, too. It could start in New York and then come west in a couple weeks. Or start in the west and go east in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Everybody
warning them on all these shows. Phil, you know that. The Biker Lowdown, the Spirit of Biker Radio, the Phil and Bill Show, the Bikers of America. We've been warning them.
Yeah.
If you go back in past shows, they'll hear it.
Yeah.
You know, we even warned the Second Amendment people. They were coming for their guns. They didn't believe it.
No.
You know? Yeah. So.
No, they don't believe it.
I don't want to ruin the spirit of your show, brother.
No. That's what we're here for. If people can't, you know, I'm the firm believer. If you bend over once, Hank, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah, as you know, I wrote, you know, I don't understand voters. You know, I put up an article, Are Voters Fools? Because I'm not in any party. Maybe I'll have a party in a couple days, you know, when people can come to it. But there is no such thing as a political party. It's a crock of bullshit. You get up there, it's a power base. You lay down and shut the fuck up, or you ain't getting anywhere. It's like going to a biker club and joining that club. That's what it's like, ladies and gentlemen. That shit you were talking to get sales, to get votes, that don't fucking run when you walk up that marble steps. Trust me.
No.
They tell you, sit down and shut the fuck up. I'm telling you, or you ain't going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and everybody who gets elected, they're prospects. See, look in that concept. They're prospering. So that means people are shitting on them. Yeah. And they're coming back and lying to the people. You know that, Phil.
Yeah, and the same thing when you say prospects, you have to make your bones to even be considered to be a prospect.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's what they're doing now, the rubbing knees and shit, and you'll see some candidates running soon and all this other dumb shit. Voters are so stupid. What I was trying to get at is you burn me once, shame on me, right?
Yep.
Burn me twice, or burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me, you see? How do people keep voting? I don't understand. Why do they keep thinking somebody else in some other party is going to be different? I don't get it.
No.
I don't understand it at all.
It's like me. What I say is they should all pay them minimum wage till they figure all this shit out.
Yeah, I don't get it. The greatest form of government, and this is what you learn in the biker culture. I've learned as an anthropologist standing outside with friends like Lisa Petroselli and others, we stand outside and we study. We talk to the various bikers. We interweb with the groups. You know, she came out with that book. The gloves come off. Anybody types that in, the gloves come off. And it's about the biker culture, and various bikers got to write their own, you know, material that's in the book. It's a real good book. It's online. The gloves come off. But the point I'm making is you learn right there that the greatest form of government is the family system. The structure of the club is the government.
Yeah.
Washington, you don't look for what Washington says today to control your lives. You see what I mean? So what is people doing? You know? And I just released, so folks know I'm an investigative reporter and have my own online newspaper, but I just released some news where the senator, Rick, I apologize, I forgot his last name.
Barry?
In Texas, yes.
Governor.
Rick Perry. That's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He revealed that they were in a meeting with the various senators from the United States. We're in a meeting directly with Obama. And Obama sat down at the table and he told them he don't trust them to make decisions on things like education and stuff like that. All right? You read that article, right?
He doesn't trust
them to make a number of different kinds of decisions.
He doesn't trust anybody that doesn't agree with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
that four-star that wanted to act
on Benghazi got relieved 15 mm-hmm. minutes after he said he was going to do something about it.
Yeah. And here's the point. States cannot allow themselves to be run by the federal government. So when he sits there and looks at state senators who were elected by their citizens, bikers, regular citizens, or everyone else, voted in this governor, all right, now the governor has been just stripped of his power on the down low by the President of the United States. He threatened them. This guy, Rick Perry, came forward anyways with a video and a tape, and I made an article at theheritagevoice.us, and you can see this where he's revealing what Obama did. This is the kind of world we live in today. This is our world. You know what I mean? So you can't rely on government. My God, you can't do that. I feel like I'm back in the joint.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I'm in a larger Comstock, a bigger a Green Haven, a very, very large Attica. I'm back in these places again. All right? Because everybody acts like an inmate, kissing ass and sucking up to whatever seems to be getting them what little they need. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I don't know, man. I'm going to smoke a joint. You take over, bro.
All right, I'm going to see if anybody's got a good comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Nora, what do you think?
On smoking a joint?
No, on what he was talking about with supporting the federal government.
Well, the only thing I can say and how I feel, for one, when it comes to allowing people here that should have been able to come here I'll phrase it that way. Okay.
Good one.
I agree, because let me tell you something. I have to agree with Hank even with you, Phil, because you and I have talked about this on the show numerous times. Why sit there and put this check over someone's head because of what they wear versus what they don't wear? You know, if they can allow illegals, people in here wrongfully, people in here to do damage to us, the United States, what is the problem with having bikers come here? I don't have a problem with bikers. Never did. You know, and many of them, I love them from the heart. As a friend, I would love to see a lot of these guys come here.
Uh-huh.
You know, unfortunately, our government, their government, got together, fucked around in bed, and said, hey, this is what I think we should do. You know, because why allow them to step over, you know, where they could come here and cause a problem? What is the problem here? For a funeral? Let's get real.
Yeah. And you know, that's beautiful that you're saying that. I've got to quickly say this so people understand. It's not just bikers. It's wives, daughters, sisters, brothers.
Cousins. Exactly.
Affiliation.
I know.
Yes, affiliation. And this is sad because I know of a particular case where the brother sat over there and his people died over here. He could do nothing.
Yeah.
I know of another case where a brother sat over there and died. He couldn't get with his family. He couldn't get with his fucking daughter. He couldn't get with his mother. He couldn't get with anybody. He sat over there and fucking died, and he didn't commit any crime or do anything wrong.
Exactly. And see, I was already going to say bring that question up. A lot of them haven't done anything, and a lot of them is on a stupid trumped-up charge or whatever the case may be. And other is just bullshit. Okay, why? Affiliation. Wrong place, wrong time. And Phil, how many times have you and I talked about if you and I and Hank and Bill stood on the corner, what are we representing? A gang. I've never been in trouble. Hank just be looked at, he's smoking a joint. So that's probable cause for an idiot to stop and check all of us. For what? What were we doing wrong? Because we were standing there talking.
No. We're standing there talking, but how are we considered a gang now? Lost me.
Listen, you guys got the case. She's absolutely right, but you guys got the case that I used as an example, all right?
Right.
Where the cops out there in California got arrested, and I'm going to pitch a bitch over this, guys, so you guys know. Got arrested out there, a whole bunch of them. Being involved with stealing drugs, selling drugs, everything else in California,
right?
And they weren't charged as a criminal enterprise, and they weren't charged as a gang under those laws, under the federal and state California state laws. They weren't charged.
Now they charge them all individually.
That's right, properly. You see what I mean? And she just said it, and you just said it. As a group, we'd be seen. And could be accused of gang activity. But these people, that's injustice. You cannot have a different application of justice, of law, with two segments of society. You just can't do that. And if it's the authorities, if it's the authorities, hang them. Found guilty, hang them. I don't really care, because something's got to stop these fuckers from looking the other way and allowing their brothers to commit the crimes they're committing.
Do you know how many times people have called in on the show here and they were wrongfully stopped because the way they dressed or the way they looked walking down the sidewalk is insane? I'm like, are you kidding me?
The world we live in, it's fucked up. But
exactly. You know,
we have to feel the power to fight the power. You know what I mean?
Right. I know what you mean. I don't know what your laws are back east. I'm in Chicago, okay?
Oh, so how nice.
Of course, Chicago is way different than California. you know, in your state, exactly. You know, so there's some things that, you know, people can breeze by here. I live in a town where I'm on a main street. I'm on a main strip. So there's bikers all summer, fall long, up and down, up and down, up and down. Okay.
Thank God. Thank God,
and,
right?
Exactly. But in the town I live in, they've never been pulled over. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a small town. It's not big. It's just a small little suburb.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, they could rip through here like nobody's business. There could be 100 of them.
Yeah, we got
and
places like that out here, too.
Lower. Yeah.
So we got places out like that where police actually ride or police understand and know. There's places like that in New York, California, and in every state. It's just like a bunch of sheriffs aren't going to go by any laws that say go confiscate people's guns. It's the same kind of concept, you know?
Right.
But
it's not
spreading enough in the cities
and
everything where it has to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, there's times if I wear something, you know, and like I said, since I live on a main road that goes through town, so traffic is all around my house. They see me every year, okay? So if I'm outside and I'm wearing something, people look at me as, what the fuck are you looking at? You know, I've had friends of mine stand in my driveway and people are giving me a look like, oh, my God, you just know what they're thinking. Do you realize who they are? Did you see what I just saw? Are you serious? They're human beings.
Yeah,
everyone's
well,
a human being.
You're right, and you know something, not to knock you, but I guess that's why there's women, Philip, in the world, right? I mean, that's where we all came from. You see how the woman, when she ends everything, it ends the way nature would have it. Why don't we all fucking get along? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like a woman's concept. A man is, let me take this crowbar, right, and hit it on the left side of a politician's head, all right? And then negotiate with him, you know, after taping his hands and arms to a chair, and negotiate with him what bill he's going to pass next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I've taken my 16-pound sledgehammer and chased the guy.
Yeah,
okay?
But that's, don't do it, Hank, doing it. See, Hank will be a target, but they'll come to your house, you know what I mean? You don't want that, all right?
No, but I mean, you know, if it comes to protecting who is at my home, or my kids, you're damn straight. I'm going to sit there and defend it. I'm only 5'2". I don't care. You know, but trust me, they're going to hear me. They will hear me.
And for those
you know,
doing a search warrant right now, and for those doing a search warrant or an arrest warrant right now, Cameron Hank is known for his great satire. Right, Philip?
There you go.
All right.
Of course, the guy's out in the truck out front. Don't worry about it.
Right. You remember the radio show where I had I ended every show with a dog ripping some guy apart, you know? It was coming on the grounds. Yeah.
No, but like I said, I do have to agree because I do not, and I never will understand why these family members, friends, what have you, cannot cross the border. I'll never understand it.
You want to know why?
Bullshit.
You want to know why?
It's control.
No, as busy as you are with your life, the little causes and the things that you and every individual listening to me right now, you're all busy because you keep busy because it gives you value who you are in America. These are one of the issues we need people to pick up. And as they pick them up, it starts campaigning, especially if they're on Facebook or wherever else, and they start pushing this issue and this idea, and they get sick about it, mentally ill about it, because all the people up in Washington, D.C., they're fucking mentally ill, all right?
Yeah.
I think it was, I heard a comedian say the other day that we should collect all the mentally ill people. Oh, it was George Carlin, he was talking about his brother. Collect all the mentally ill people and put them in office, and things will straighten out.
I'm sure you're right on that. You know, but like I said, I had no problem signing that. I had no problem.
Yeah. Go to Facebook and type in my name, and you'll be able to sign it or pass it on to other friends. Get the link, all right?
Is it just Hank?
Hank, H-A-N-K.
Okay.
Space, then M-C, Mick, McGrath, G-R-A-T-H.
Oh, McGrath, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you and I have on mutual. Okay, I'm going to come in.
Usually
you.
All McGraths are trouble, all right? So we're easy to remember.
You know what? I don't even have a record, but I'm sure I'm already on a list somewhere. Do you think I'm
there? You've been on a list.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, since you brought me on the radio show, Phil. Shame on you. No.
Set up. But that's fine because,
Okay. Listen,
welcome to America. Welcome. Where do you
it's
think?
Okay.
What do you think? Hey, listen, folks, come on. Snap out of it a second. All right? I'm even stoned and I understand this. It's the same as when I'm straight. Snap out of it. Watch. What do you think the Irish were saying years ago when they created Harlem and they were being killed and they were being all the shit that was happening? What do you think years later that the African-Americans and the Italians were trying to say about the government? Everybody just stood aside and thought that was just happening to them. This seems to be a human pattern, a human fucking pattern to watch like you're watching TV. This shit happened to other people. Don't get involved. Oh, no, you don't want a commercial. Don't get involved. All right? Just watch it happen, and then afterwards, guess what? They're at your fucking door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're at your door with a no-knock warrant.
That's right. It's over. You watched it happen. Hope you enjoyed it. Now you're the star.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Well, I'll tell you what, for the length of time that I've been with Phil on the show here, you know, and stuff, there's a lot I've learned. And yes, I know, there's certain things I'm never going to understand because, oh my God, I grew up to be the goody-goody, you know. And but I've always been around the biker community, certain other types of communities, you know. So I've been around different types of people. And I'm sorry, when I sit there, I just don't get how everybody gets treated because I look at people as who they are and how they show to me. That's how I go, okay? So when people sit there and they're like, you know, oh, my God, you're goody-goody. You have no idea what we're talking about. No, I don't in the regard of legality here. But I do get people and how people get treated is wrong. And I have no problem saying, what the hell are you doing? You know, this isn't right. I'm sorry. Well, you need the help. I'll get on it. I don't care. Because it's not right.
Well, that's nice. And it must be nice. You must be in a nice, cozy house, right? You got TV. You got your projects. You got your friends. And you're a righteous person right there in that neighborhood. And that's what we need is seeds like that. Start changing.
No, I'm actually the person in the town that people don't like because I have no problem telling them what I think. They don't like that. This is like an uppity community.
You're mentally ill.
You know, I'm mentally ill. They're all, you know, writing with money, and I sit there, you know, surviving like you and everybody else. Yeah. But if something's wrong, I have no problem spouting it right to their face, you know, and it's like, oh, my God, Nora, did you know what she said? I don't give a shit. I'll repeat it. Did I stutter? You know, people don't like that.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference.
That's true. Did you hear the news of a couple projects that I'm working on here in New York?
No, I have not.
Okay, some really good stuff. And, of course, Philip here. Has been involved as well. And what we're doing is I'm trying to find the articles and open them up because people can see them, you know?
Yeah, I've already posted them in the chat room. He's talking about is Bikers Against Discrimination, which is our group,
right. And
the American Biker Culture Center have joined forces with CopBlock.org and FilmingCops.com, who have agreed to be available. And take it from there, Hank.
Yeah. So what we did is we understand, like, there's cop block organizations, groups, all over the United States, okay? and who runs it, and the founders and all the volunteers and all these places. If you go to copblock.org, and there's a tab there that says groups, and a map comes out, and you see every place they are. Now, what these groups are is they're already practiced in filming using their phones and cameras, GoPros and everything else, filming police abuse of citizens. And they've been involved for going on, I think, 4 years now, okay? Built quite the dispensary up there where people can go there and watch these films, and this information's gotten all over Facebook and everywhere else, you know, generally from copblock.org and filmingcops.com. A lot of the film you've seen about cops abusing people.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the articles are fed to me and posted on the blog.
Comes from them. See? So what I did is I contacted Pete. And we talked at great length about what goes on with bikers. And how even though a biker's being stopped by the, say, state police or some, citizens won't pull out their phones, see, because it's not happening to them. It's not happening in a car. They don't even have it programmed in their head.
So
we come up with a great idea. Well, that's what I mean. You're a blessing in the neighborhood. Don't give out your street number, all right?
No, but I've actually gotten yelled at. You're not supposed to do this. I said, I don't care. I turned down my phone and took photos and stuff.
I'll be there for cakes and cookies, all right?
Okay.
But listen. They've already got these established groups all over the place. So the idea was bad. The American Biker Culture Center wants to educate those that are already volunteers with cop blocks and all the cop blocks throughout the United States and world to be more proactive and attentive of bikers being pulled over and filming what's going on. Okay?
Right.
Now, that would enlist thousands of volunteers instantly. And, of course, we already got that going on. People are getting ready. At the same time, see, if you go to Facebook and you type in DUPA, D-U-P-A, capital D-U-P-A, dash N-Y, cop blocks, and we'll come right up to our page and like our page. DUPA is Documenting Unjust Police Aggression. It's a training thing that BAD and the American Biker Culture Center does with Harold Bryant. He's a film producer, with Lisa Petricelli, an author and editor. She does New York Rider magazine, stuff like that. And a bunch of other people. Oh, Ben Rabin, the attorney. And we train bikers on how to use GoPros and other filming techniques, phone techniques and stuff, to begin starting to proactively film police aggression, unjust police aggression. Not cops doing their job, unjust police aggression. Then these films are immediately sent to any or all of the main cop blocks, all right? Right to the site. They're ready right there to receive all motorcyclist stuff, and immediately an email is sent to us to let us know this has been received, and we go and review it. You see? But it's already out there in the public, and the world begins to see that this is a normal thing, that bikers and motorcyclists across the United States and nation, worldwide, are actually being aggressively attacked by authorities. Money grabs and harassment and other kinds of things. So this is a great idea.
Even here, you know, kids get shot and they don't even have a weapon or nothing. It's crazy. So that's the UPA, NW, cop.
Well, you go dash. Put a little dash in between TUPA, DUPA, and New York. Okay?
Okay. That's what I was trying to figure out there. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's cop. Right, DUPA, NW, cop.
Yep, cop block, B-L-O-C-K.
Okay, I thought you said rock.
And it'll start coming out if you're on Facebook already. It'll start coming out.
I am on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it here. Okay, got it. Well, I see videos.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff we have up there, and we'll be bringing some more stuff because this just happened, this agreement between CopBot and .org. And filmingcops.com.
Now,
of course, there's cop blocks. There's a cop block right out in California, but it's under a BRO, all right?
Okay.
Yep.
But what we're doing is, in the agreement we've come up with, is the concept here is to create a dispensary.
Okay.
One place, and that's copblock.org, where all motorcycle film will go, and lawyers be able to download this shit instantly and take it into court. Civil rights people will be able to download this and put together stats. Biker rights organizations will be able to download it. You see what I mean? It becomes, they're loaning their site as a dispensary for unjust activity by law enforcement against motorcyclists.
Right. Now, do you have a like page on Facebook?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay?
I was trying to find a like page, but I wasn't able to see a like page.
Well, they just printed an article up at copblock.org. So if you go to copblock.org, you'll see a big emblem of bad and et cetera.
Okay.
Right? And that has links in it you just go to. Okay?
Okay.
And anybody else listening. The second thing, right, which is really cool, right, is we're already in the works doing an app, right, an iPhone and a phone app. And this app would allow you to, I can't tell you its entire design, all right?
Okay.
But it would allow you to, if you're running into a motorcycle-only checkpoint, to push a button, and this information would immediately go out, okay, to a specific source. And if you're being harassed, et cetera, you push another button, and it starts sending the video and audio out to the places where we need it to go. So I was talking to David, and he created, with other founders, Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, touch.com. And that's where they go and make apps. Many of the apps that they make and the people involved there make are sold that you've been buying from Apple and stuff like that. They come from this
I don't have Apple.
And when I talk to, well, I got an orange. But I talk to David Book, right? And he's going to design a badass app for motorcyclists and bikers through BAD, all right, all over the nation that we can start using. And it's a BAD alert. And, of course, Phil had posted some information on that as well. You still there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just running through some stuff here, and I got a caller from Canada, I think. Let's see what this gentleman has to say.
Good.
Phil 3?
How you doing, Phil?
Good. How you doing?
Not
What's
too bad.
What's your take on all this?
What's that?
Take on this.
It's something else, man. I'll tell you. People have to stand up against this this Homeland Security issue here. It's getting crazy. Like Hank was saying. Everybody's being affected. I'm a Canadian, and I see it. I see it affecting you guys, and you know. And I love my American family. I love my American brothers and sisters. And I watch you guys go down all the time, every day. My poor people out there are getting stepped on, shit on, you know. And Obama don't give a fuck about you. Don't give a fuck about anybody else, you know. And if I'm a Canadian, I just filled out that petition that you kindly sent to me, which I asked, and you gave it up to me like nothing. And, you know, I'm standing with you guys, I'm standing with Hank, and I'm standing with everybody. And as a Canadian, hopefully I will be heard. They'll probably see my petition and throw it under the fucking bus. But, you know, as a Canadian, at least I'm going to make that attempt to make my voice heard, and I'm going to pass it on to everybody I know. I know clubbers, I know, you know, just good people all over the place, you know, independent bikers. It doesn't matter, colors or not, you know, and
right.
We have to stand up. You know, like I said, as a Canadian, I'm willing to stand up for you guys. If the American people don't want to stand up for themselves with a good talk show behind them like yours, Phil, you know, and people like Hank and everybody else that's listening in, I mean, if we don't build a human chain and be an unbreakable chain, well, nobody else is going to do it for you. You know.
You know something, brother? You just made me. This is Hank. You just made me feel so much better, because now I know I'll be swimming across that fucking river and meeting you on the other side soon.
Well, thank you, man. I'd be honored to meet you, man. Like I heard somebody say that they were Canadian. I'm not sure if that was you.
I'm an Irishman. I can't make a decision if I'm Canadian yet. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you
just love a good Canadian beer. Eh?
Yeah, I don't want to say anything about Canada because I might be running there. All right, so.
Well, man, right. You got a home, brother. You got a home right here.
Yeah, but, I know when the chicks. I'm sorry to change the topic real quick, but when the chicks have sex with you, even if they're mad at you and they talk French, it's beautiful. That shit is.
It is. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Oh, sweet. All right.
Well,
I? I really am honored that. You know, that we're talking, and you like the way that, you know, I spoke up. And, like, I mean, we don't know each other, and hopefully down the road we'll have the chance to meet because, you know, I don't know if you go around and travel and speak and whatever, but, you know, if you ever come to Canada, whatever, I'll be right there with you. And I give you my word on that.
Well, make sure you friend me as soon as you can on Facebook, okay?
Yeah, actually, I asked Phil. He gave me the Homeland Security page, but I need your page. I'll give you my real name, okay? And then just send me a friend's request. And
no,
then,
give me your real name. Leave it off the line here. Leave it off
okay.
the line. My God, these guys are collecting everything.
Yeah. Well, if you got a pen and paper handy right now, I'll spell it all out for you.
No. Send it to me on Facebook.
No, he meant send him a message.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A private message.
I'll give you an easy one.
Don't play it on the radio.
Yeah.
I'll give you an easy one. You ready?
Yeah, you
bet.
Here's
my email, brother. Bad Biker Rights. And that's two R's. Biker Rights. Bad Biker Rights at yahoo.com. It would be an honor hooking up with you. All right?
Okay, Bad Biker Rights at?
Yahoo.com.
At Yahoo. Sounds great, brother.
All right.
You bet. I will send that off to you ASAP.
Thank you kindly.
It was my honor having a chat with you, and Phil and Bill, man, I'll tell you, and everybody else that's on the show are fantastic people, and I'll tell you, they have your back, and I'll put my life on that one.
Well, I don't really like Phil, you know.
he's kind of.
We don't like Phil. We just love the guy.
Yeah. Over there in Canada, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about? Hey, Phil, I got to grab this idea. All right.
Right.
What do you think, bro, about the move that's going on here with herb, with pot, in the U.S.?
On the medical side, I think it's a beautiful thing. Personally, I mean, I quit smoking a long time ago, and I mean, I'm battling cancer, so my cancer specialist wants me to smoke. My family doctor doesn't want me to smoke because he's the one who gives me my injectable Demerol and so forth. And so I'm kind of in between a rock and hard place. But medically, if it helps children, adults, whatever the case may be, 100%. 100%. If it's just to sit on the corner, you know, the street corner and smoking your face off, I don't much give that a whole lot of thought.
Not unless you're producing something from it, something positive, something good.
Exactly. If it's to produce something that medically helps children, you know, because I've been watching a lot of that on CNN and
right.
with Dr. Gupta or whatever his name is, he's, you know, it's unbelievable what's coming out of this, you know, and they've put the halt on this for years and years and years, knowing that it actually does good. You know, they're not going to just release that out in the public when they can sell you medication. They'd rather sell you pills and make a multi-billion dollar industry even bigger.
Well,
then to have you sit back with a package of zigzags and a fucking and an ounce of pot, saying, you know what? Now I can eat, I can sleep, I can think, I can motivate.
Yeah.
You know,
you said it right on the nose, brother. I just did an article having to do with that, and you see the government. Well, first pot, right? Herb is one of the most. It's impossible. Scientists cannot create a rendition, you know, a fake rendition of marijuana. It doesn't have the same effect as everything else, and that's what's been taking so long. Just like you said, they want to control the market.
Of course they do.
Right now,
in Colorado, now they're seeing all the money that's being made, and what are they doing? They're taxing the motherfuckers. They want their hands in it now.
Yeah.
$50 million already.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how many people benefit from this? Tons. Millions of people.
Yes.
They won't take alcohol off the market, which kills people left and right, drinking and driving, killing children, you know, whatever else have you, you know. Like Prohibition, they couldn't win Prohibition, so they brought the booze back. They're never going to win the war against drugs.
That's right.
You
know? Yeah, and what I believe is they should stop the war, let it be a private thing. If you want to smoke, you smoke. It's been private. Don't walk around and say it. Just like if you're for Daisy or whatever, that's your private sexual business. Who cares, right?
Exactly.
Here
in Canada, I just filled out my forms so I can grow my own pot for my medical purposes, and I'm allowed 6 plants, which I believe is the same in the States. But there's so much red tape, bureaucratic red tape, in Canada, worse than in the States. Like, and I hope Canada wakes up to reality and says, you know what, we're going to follow suit and we're going to do what the States is doing. You know, like, they're going to tax the shit out of us like everybody else, but, you know, people are going to benefit from this. That it's a proven fact.
Yeah, you know what we need?
Oh, like, I do a lot of research on that. You are far from a stupid man. I can tell just by listening to you. You're doing your research. You're setting up a lot of good things for people, and so are a lot of other people. They're fighting this, and they're winning. They're winning the fucking war.
Yeah, they are.
But if
you don't
stand up to the plate and start smashing people like Obama upside the fucking head, well, nobody's going to win.
A Canadian
Senator. What are you going to do? Start throwing everybody in jail because they have a quarter ounce of pot in their pocket? In Canada, you only get a slap in the wrist now, especially in British Columbia. British Columbia has had a contract with the United States for over 22 years growing pot for the medical establishment in the United States.
Yeah.
But now the United States is growing their own. So hopefully they'll turn it around and keep it in our country and say, whoa, let's benefit everybody with this. You know, there's a lot of sick children with cancer and whatever that need something. Fuck the pills. You know, you're going to start making junkies out of 7-year-old children by popping pills every day?
That's what they're doing. Yes.
You know, you have ADHD. A child is hyperactive. All children are hyperactive at one point or another. Oh, you have ADD. What do? You pop them full of pills. There you go. There's a future
Hey, bro, I saw a study that showed that a lot of kids diagnosed with ADD are Irish.
Yep. And friends.
You know why I'm saying that? The Irish have a particular gene in them that has them a little overly aggressive.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Overly
crazy.
Yeah,
I've met a lot of great Irish people. They are hyper. They are hyper. French people are hyper. Italian people are hyper.
Over here, but not as hyper as us, anyways. We're going to fight all the time.
No, you guys are on top of the fucking block for that. But I wouldn't fight you for the fucking title weight championship belt on that, man. You win.
You're a good brother. But what I'm saying is look how they're doing it. You're right. They are purposely medicating. This is, we got to understand, people in government have a 25-year plan. We're just lucky enough to plan the next 2 weeks.
Exactly. I call it population control, and that's exactly what it is.
Yes. It's true. They can put in any question to this fucking computer that we created, human beings created, and it will figure out what moves to make. The computer will tell you what moves to make.
Exactly. People don't think for themselves anymore. They just press a few buttons on the fucking computer, and then they, boop, there goes the answer. There's your answer.
And that's why what's going wrong, it's almost like when you were a kid and you went to the fortune-telling machine. Remember? Did you ever see any of them? You put a quarter in or something, and you can get a little piece out or whatever. You know that your life's going to suck the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's sort of like
You know what we're doing right
this
here?
This is what Washington is doing, is they're using machines to figure everything out, and we're wondering why everything is in such disarray and acting crazy like
Thomas Coates. I feel old because those little fortune-telling machines when I was a kid were only like 2 cents.
They've been ripping us off, bro. Over here.
I like you.
Years ago,
we're
I went
doing
to
right
Canada.
Now.
Years ago, I went.
What we're
I'm
doing
sorry,
right, well, Hank. What we're doing right now is this is our right to free speech.
Yeah,
you're right.
Now, okay, now, just, I dug this up, but I want you to listen to this because Obama did this. Listen to this.
Well, it's a bill that has received very little attention, but may make free speech a felony and seriously restrict your right to political protest. Just signed into law by the president, H.R. 347 gives federal agents sweeping powers to arrest and bring felony charges against citizens engaged in protests where the Secret Service is present. Joining us now with more, Fox News senior judicial analyst, good friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, the thing that strikes out, jumps out off the page, felony?
Yeah, felony means more than a year in jail. This is not like a traffic ticket. For standing and protesting, the type of thing that for 230 years Americans took for granted because it was protected by the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, has actually been abridged. But legislation the president signed last Thursday, supported overwhelmingly by both parties, with very, very little public debate and very little debate in Congress, basically allows Secret Service agents to decide where there are no free speech zones, not speech zones, no free speech zones. And anybody by the Secret Service can, protected by the Secret Service, can ask those agents to ban protests wherever they are. So I can think of three violations: speech violations, association violations, the right to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. What good is free speech if the people in the government are so far away from you that they can't hear you?
Judge, what about keeping our elected officials safe?
Keeping our elected officials safe is entirely different from insulating them from protest. The fact that the president is going to a hotel up the block should not bar you from standing across the street with a sign or with a bullhorn saying what you think about the president's policies. That is not a threat to him, and it is a part of American history since day one that we have the right to speak freely to, about, and against those in the government.
Okay, so do you think this is going to be one of those laws that is on the books but not enforced?
I think it's one of those laws that's going to be enforced when the government wants it enforced. The problem, Eric, is it puts a lot of unbridled discretion in the hands of Secret Service agents who may very well say, you know what, boss, you've had a rough day. We'll keep everybody away from you. Or you know what, boss, this crowd likes you, so we're going to let them. We're going to let you hear them. That's suppressing speech on the basis of its content. And that has been expressly prohibited by the First Amendment since day one.
What dictates the Secret Service is present? In other words, aren't they present all over Washington, D.C.?
Well, they are, and that's a great question, because this law also allows the president to give Secret Service protection to whoever he wants. I'll give you a bizarre example. His campaign managers are coming to Washington to confer with him about the campaign. He can give them Secret Service protection. And then the Secret Service can say to the kids in the streets, you can't shout at David Axelrod, because the campaign manager, because the Secret Service is protecting him. This is a slow, creeping destruction of some of our basic liberties, and the president signed it in secret.
And now some of the Secret Service are going to be providing services for the candidates now as well.
Correct.
So
correct.
People aren't going to be able to have their opinion about the candidates?
If the Secret Service so declares, you won't be able to shout at
them. Judge got to go. The economy's not bad. Sorry about that.
There's another one.
Unfortunately, it's not a slow creeping thing. It is fast active, and it's in your face right now.
Okay.
And it's taking all your rights away. Like I said, I feel for my American people so badly. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, man. You won't even be able to fucking sneeze without getting fucking handcuffs.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's good, though? If I could get a group of people. If I could get a group of people, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And we involve ourselves in the fight to protect the Second Amendment, involve ourselves in the fight to protect the biker culture, involve ourselves in the fight for the First Amendment, in a few other fights, and then say, this country is our enemy, we're in danger of our freedom, we might be illegally interned, unjustly interned, I'm going to Canada and ask for refuge.
Yeah, because I'll tell you straight up, if you do what you want to do and I know you're the type of guy, you got fucking spine, you got backbone, you'd be fucking thrown in the, you'd be thrown in a hooskow so goddamn fast. So yeah, pack your fucking bags, get your ass to Canada, man. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, see that, Phil? Now look,
yeah.
That's the future. That's the future. That's the future. All right, because this country is not gonna to where it was as we grew up. It's not going to get back to that. It's heading for a different place for a different group of fucking people. People who don't
Here's a guy that warned us about what we're experiencing right now. And I'm going to let him tell you what he was talking about.
Oh, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer is yes, I'm telling you.
We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world.
We're going to raise the debt limit. We always have. We will do it again.
We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce.
I have been informed by that the majority plans to block consideration of this amendment, which is number 1367, regarding the transparency at the Federal Reserve.
Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion.
It's said that China has now surpassed Japan as the U.S. government's largest creditor, owning at least 10% of all U.S. debt, perhaps as much as $700 billion.
And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now purchase 45 cents in its total value.
President Obama is expected to face tough questions over the U.S. decision to pump $600 billion freshly printed dollars into its economy. Now, the move is an attempt to revive the country's finances, but will result in a devaluation of the dollar.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours...
You'll construct a legal regime to make indefinite detention legal.
History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
For some trips, it'll be faster than flying, without the pat-down.
Anna was
was picked to go through. Pretty much everybody except the baby was picked to go through the scanner.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth.
Damn America, that's in the Bible.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
I've got a core set of values that I think have to be advanced, and that my individual salvation depends on our collective salvation.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
We had an election, and it was about a direction for our country.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society, or as we were told a few days ago by the President, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's what this election is about.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost.
Can't get it any better.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I have to say it was an honor working with you tonight, Phil. And
okay.
To all the listeners, I give my peace and take heed in things that we shared. And to my Canadian brother, and you're going to be shocked when I talk to you, brother. That's why I call you Canadian brother. You don't know. You don't know.
Well, thank you very much, Hank. I just left you a little message there on chat. So,
yeah, right. And I'll be reaching out, and no doubt, probably running. So, this weekend I got the St. Patrick's Day parade where I represent the Irish Freedom Committee. If anybody types in Irish Freedom Committee in Google, it'll take you right to the site and what's going on over there with members of my family and people like that. Is you're wrongfully interned. They can just come and pick you up for talking the way you're talking, brother, the way I'm talking, the way Phil's talking, the way everybody, any other guest was talking. They can come and just grab you over in Northern Ireland and put you in prison.
Irish Freedom, Irish Freedom Committee, eh?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
And they're also on Facebook. Friend them there. But we represent them here in New York, and we'll be headlining the parade and represent them. So thanks to all the bikers out there. Peace, love, and thank you so much, Phil.
Okay, you're welcome.
Right back at you, brother. You take care.
You too, man. Peace. Well,
you bet. Bye-bye. That was one good guy, Bill, I'll tell you.
Hold on a second.
You bet.
Six-five-oh, you're on after this, but Eunice, what did you think about what we were talking about? Give me your take on all that.
Well, you know how I feel about the government, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to represent the people, but they don't. They represent whatever hand is washing their hand with money. I'm a big believer of that. You know that.
Uh-huh.
You really don't want to get me started on this, do you?
Sure, go for it.
Well, it's too bad, you know, that the people that we put into these positions stay in there, one thing, too long, because they get to know the ropes real well. And the good ones that we put in that get harassed, they find ways of getting them out.
Correct.
So it's a dirty little business that they have, all the way to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really don't want to get going on this, do you? Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. That's why we're here.
I've been in it too long.
The only thing I ask is anybody that's unmuted right now, don't jump in. Let her finish. Let her finish her comment, and then I'll ask for commentary.
It's you know, I've been in it too long, Phil. You have very few and far in between who really are compassionate about doing things. Because I've met some, and we've got more bad ones than we have good ones, and you have to play the same games that they play. Like I told you before, we've been trying to get a bill passed to protect our children,
mm-hmm.
In every walks of life. But yet in Massachusetts, and don't get me wrong, animal lovers, because I have my baby, and it's a Shih Tzu, and I love him dearly. But they passed a bill in Massachusetts to protect animals before to protect children.
Correct.
And I was very upset over that. Like I said, you know, I love my animals. I love my baby. You know, he is my baby, and I want him protected. And then I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that abuse their animals. But we also have a lot of people that abuse children. And if people would only realize that we got like 350 children a day that are being mentally and sexually abused. And the politicians don't want that because the insurance companies don't want that. And non-profitable organizations don't want that because that means their insurance will go up, and the insurance companies don't want it because they don't want to have to pay for it. And as you know, our government just turned this country over to every insurance company in health insurance. As everybody knows, you can't have anything without insurance.
No, you can't.
And it's sickening. It is really sickening. And I get tired. The older I get, the tireder I get. It's heart-wrenching. As you know, Phil, it's 14 years for this bill that we've been trying to pass to protect our children. 14 years. That's a lot of years. Hopefully.
Yeah. If you had a picture of a picture of some bikers there, oh, you get all kinds of attention.
Oh yeah, and it might have to come to that, Phil. You know, can you see them riding up the stairs at the State House? I can. I love the idea. But hopefully, just hopefully, maybe. You know, people have said to me, why does God let this happen? Why does God let this happen? Well, it's taken me a long time to understand it for myself. But God created all of us equal and free people. In other words, when we were born, he made us free. And we had our own minds to decide as we grew up which way we would go. You had bad people, He had good people. Can you imagine what it would be, what it our life would have been like if God made us all equal? That we were all the same? You know, and I used to be the first one that would say, God, why did you let this happen? God, well, you want to know something? It wasn't God. It was human beings that made the decision to start these wars. It was human beings that decided to rape and molest children. You know, I mean, you got to really think of it. It was human beings that did it.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, God had told people that if you don't change your ways, you know, that we're going to start over. And I think that's coming soon. Maybe after I die, you know, when I say soon, maybe 100 years from now. But it's human beings that create these problems, not God. God did not give us children to be molested. Those are his children. He loaned them to us. We're supposed to protect them. And these people that can go to bed at nighttime thinking that they're doing something good, they'd be the first ones to scream if it happened to their children. The first ones. So I'll keep fighting in that area. Because I know, as a parent, how it is to have one of your children sexually abused. I am a parent of a child that has been murdered. So mm-hmm. What do? You get involved and you try to change the sentencing bills. And that's the sad part, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
People do not get involved unless it has happened to a member of their family.
Yeah. It's just like the other day, this guy called up. I happen to be at Bill's. This guy called up. We got a guy over here. He's taking helmets off people and making them, leave them stranded on the side of the road. So this guy's all gung-ho and everything. I want to get that motherfucker and all this stuff. So I said, well, why didn't you call the station? What do you mean? Well, why didn't you fill out a complaint? What do you mean a complaint? Why don't you call and tell him somebody just stole your property? I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? Did he take it away from you? Yeah. Did he make you take it off? Yeah. Okay. He stole it, right? Did he have your permission to take it? No, he didn't. Then why did you call him and make a complaint? We went out for about 10 minutes. And then I walked outside, and I could hear him tell Bill, man, this guy's a hard charger. How come he said I should do that? Bill said, he's right. Oh, what do you mean he's right, Bill? That would have been like getting in more trouble. How would it be getting in trouble for standing up for yourself?
And you have to. You have to. You know, I had a DA that was up my ring ram, you know, in the early 80s. And he come out and he said to me, you never told us you knew this particular guy. And I says, well, you never asked me. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know what you just did? I says, well, do you know what you just did? And he says, oh, what did I just do? I says, what did you just do? I says, you got my kid murdered, number one. And number two, just remember one thing, Conti. And that was his last name, Conti. I says, you might be the green grass right now, but remember, I'm the fucking lawnmower. If it takes me 20 years, I'm the lawnmower. And I was the lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
you know. What could he do to me, Phil? I didn't even have a car back then. Give me a walking ticket? They didn't even have jaywalking back in those days, you know. But right. You have to stand up for yourself.
There was a guy walking in a crosswalk, and he got nightstick today in Dallas. A homeless guy. He didn't move fast enough, and the cop got out, and he said something, and the guy told him, fuck you, and he started clubbing him. Unfortunately, it was all caught on dash cam.
Yeah. It's, I get sick, and then I get angry, and then I get sicker, and then I get angry, and I mean, you've heard me when I've been really depressed, but then I just go right back out there fighting again because somebody's got to do it. If I give up, everybody else is going to give up.
Well, you know, it's like I told you before. If you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
You know? But it's my compassion, and it's something that I have to keep striding at. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep doing it. It'll make a difference someday, Bill. I might be gone, but it'll still make a difference. And it has to.
Well, I know my grandkids are going to pay the bills.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to benefit by it. If it's our great-grandchildren, you know. But someone will benefit by it. So, where's Nora?
Nora.
Yes.
There you are, my
sorry.
Friend.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I was still muted. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was like, okay, I'm not going to say nothing. I was muted before, and it's fine because you needed to say what you had to say. But I didn't know I was unmuted. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's where I have the control.
Really? Bite me.
Well, I guess there's no listeners out there because nobody's called in to say anything. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. We're not being jammed up or shut down. Well, I don't
yeah.
know. My phone cut off and I had to call back in. Thank God I was able to.
But, hey, we all got our little itches, and we just have to still keep fighting for them, you know. Just got to keep fighting. So, Bill, how's the grandchildren?
Everything's good.
That's good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I think I told you I'm another great-grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Did I tell you the baby's father is a registered pedophile?
Yeah, you told me that before. But I wanted to kind of stay with the topic we were talking about.
Okay. Politicians.
And basically what Hank was calling in about was we got a innovative strategy going. And we joined forces with copblock.org and filmingcops.com. And we all have agreed to all bikers and motorcyclists across the nation and abroad who are being harassed by police and suffer police misconduct as a data and film documentary dispensary center live for public view. And it should be up and running by the end of next month.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I was listening earlier.
Yeah, so what happens is, say you get stopped in New York, and you have a friend out here, and you send, they get, you know, they get an instant message that something's going on, and then you send it to your friend, and so it's going to be like anybody follows you, like they do on Facebook or whatever, and
we get followed on Facebook.
Everybody get, well, it won't be on Facebook. It'll be on your phone. What I'm saying is if someone follows you on Facebook, whatever you do, they know you did it. So whatever happens in your traffic stop, like Hank said, that when he was telling you about DUPA, DUPA is documenting unjust police aggression, and it is a biker's rights film. And it was presented by Hank and the director and a couple other guys, and you can get it at popsmediapro.com. But in these two sites, in conjunction with the DUPA and our BAD seminars, we're going to provide an opportunity for the American biker culture to freely post and report pertinent law enforcement aggression and corruption against the biker culture. But this strategy plan will provide us with the kind of centralized data we need to defend our rights while enforcing accountability, which is what it boils down to. Make them accountable.
That's really going to be good with all the bikers and everybody on Facebook and that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's not going to have nothing to do with Facebook. It's going to be with your phone.
Oh, okay.
And according to the way things are going to go, the first year will be free, and then it's $10 a year bucks after that. I'm not sure if it's going to be $10 just to join or $10 annually, like once a year.
Yeah.
Mhm.
That's going to be really awesome. I was really listening to it earlier because I've been on the phone since 9, and I was listening to your friend Hank and the gentleman from Canada. You know, so that's going to be awesome. Maybe we should do that with politics. That's what I'll do. Bring my phone in with me.
Mhm. Yeah, and basically it's like the last time Bill and I went down to the police station, they put us in an interrogation room and said, "Oh, we're not recording you guys."
Mhm. Sure they were.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
You know. I don't know, this world is getting crookeder and crookeder and crookeder. Why can't we take it back, you know? Let's take it back.
It'd be nice to, eh?
Yep, it certainly would be.
Well, I'm the Canadian guy, and I would definitely love to speak to you about that more, that's for sure.
You know, I've spoke to you before.
Yeah, we have, that's right.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
We have.
Yeah, we
have. Yeah, it sure has been, yeah.
Yeah, I remember phoning you at home once.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right, you did.
Yeah, you're a great inspiration to me. You really helped me out, man, more than you'll ever know.
Well, thank you.
More than welcome. But anyways, guys, I will let you go. And it was a great, great talk, and Hope to be on the show more often, Phil.
All right.
You guys take care, and love you all, and take care of yourselves out there.
All righty.
All right.
Good night.
Take care.
So, Norton, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Eunice. No, Nora.
Yes.
Give me your synopsis of this. If you were a biker and someone told you about this app, give me an unbiased opinion.
Okay, so you want to know my opinion on...
Someone came up to you and said, hey... Someone came up to you and said, hey, tell me about this app. Tell me, have you used it? What can you tell me about this?
I would sit there and say, for one, this is a wonderful app. This is what,
as
you know.
As a biker.
As a biker, I would say get this on your phone. You need to get this on your phone. If something goes on, you need to have this. Have it ready. And whether it be you, whether it be someone you know, whether it be someone you don't know, get the word out. Get this app out on people's phones. Get it out there. Share it. Inform people. Let people be aware what's going on, what's taking place. That's what I would do.
That's for sure.
Educate, inform. And I wouldn't stop until I didn't know who else to go to. You know what I mean? I mean, passing the word, having them pass the word, so on and so on and so on. You know, because it is important. I've seen a lot of things, even though some things are limited, which you know. But you know what? I had no problem flipping my phone and doing what I've done. I've sent you stuff. You know, like, hey, check this out. Poof. You know? Oh, they're over here, they're over there, you know. I mean, I've seen them pull people over, ransack through vehicles, have dogs out and everything else. And I sat there taking photos, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm taking pictures. I'm on my porch. Well, you can't do that. Really? I just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not right. I can understand if someone just robbed a bank and they're going after that. But if it is a simple, minor traffic issue, why do you need a dog there? Why do you need unmarks there? Why do you need people turning in and out of somebody's vehicle? And sure, I don't know the story. I don't. But from what I see and how it's presented is not right. You and I were driving in a car, and we get pulled over, and it's just a minor traffic thing. What are they going to do? License, registration, insurance, whatever. Okay, poof, here you go. And then, okay, it comes back to you. And whether if you get a warning, a ticket or not, okay, go on your way. That's how it used to be. And how it is today, it's disgusting, it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
People need to know about that app.
Let me tell you this scenario. And this is when you really should have a phone, okay? A police officer has a gentleman paint his house.
Mm-hmm.
Writes out the check. You know, for the amount of money that he charged to paint the house. Sits down with the painter, has a couple of beers. Painter leaves. Gets pulled over by a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And the painter says, hey, I just left this officer's house. I painted his house. So he calls the officer that he painted the house for. And the officer said, put the painter on the phone. And he says, I can fix your tickets. Rip up my check I gave you.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
True story.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Imagine that dirty bastard.
How they do it.
I'll tell you. Those are the people you like to hang by the balls.
Yep. I agree.
I get sick when I hear stories like that, you know. But it's a true story. It truly happened. So that's You know, when you, I wish I was driving by that when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do. But like in everything, you get good cops, you get bad cops. You got more bad cops than good cops.
Mm-hmm.
They think they can just do whatever they want, you know. Whatever they want.
Well, there's innocent people that die every day.
Yep.
That are unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, though, how our world has you know, I don't know. You find one solution for one thing, and they, in crooks and murderers and that, they always find another way of doing it, you know? I mean, a good majority of our children this day and age, they, life means nothing to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Means nothing to them. You know, and it's in good families and it's in bad families, you know, and I'll say it until the day I die. I really believe if you're a strong child, you make it in this world. If you're a weak child, you don't make it in this world,
mm-hmm.
You know. But we have our choices, and I don't blame anybody for the choices I've made, you know. I mean, I've had a good life. I've had tragedies, but I've learned how to handle them. Hey, like the publisher said, Eunice, you don't have one book, you have five. So I don't know if I'll be alive long enough to write the whole five, but I'll try. And then I'll donate all my money, so that's what I'll do. After I take another cruise. So, oh, I have my sister coming over this weekend, and this is going to be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
The one I went on the cruise with. So,
okay.
So what shall we do about our country?
Move. Canada.
That's three little people. Move to Canada.
No, just send all the politicians to an island someplace off the Black Sea and, you know, we'll all be happy.
You know, it's amazing how we put them in, into, you know, and I really, really study, you know, before I vote. I really do. And I'll be honest, I voted for a Republican president, you know. And I vote for the person I think that's going to do the better job. I voted for Obama the first time out, but not the second, you know. So we all learn by our mistakes. Some of us do. Some of us do. So why don't we get something going that's interesting? What you and your friend Hank are doing, that's very interesting. That I wish I used my cell phone all the time. You know? But, you know, I'm in bed at 8 o'clock. It's the truth. We were talking about cases down here. And I don't know if you read about the child that's been missing up in Massachusetts. They haven't seen him in a long time, and they arrested the boyfriend and the mother. But they haven't found the child yet. And but down here, there's like seven cases like that down in Florida of children being missed because the agencies don't do the investigating the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very sad. So we got to do something, you know, to make this world a little bit better. I'm lost for words on it. I guess you can only do what you're capable of doing. You know, get involved.
Yeah.
And you and your friend and Bill are getting involved in your compassion, and that's what you should do, you know, for Bikers of America. That's what you should do. And you do beyond that, you and Bill Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot for the VA. You know, you do a lot of good deeds. And that's great that you can do it. But some people have backbones and some people don't. You know?
Yeah.
Like your friend that allowed the police officer to take his stuff away from him. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Hank's gonna come back Thursday. We're going to do a little convincing tomorrow. And we'll have a little more info on the link. And
okay. It was nice talking to you.
You too. I'm going to check out early.
Good.
All righty. Nara, good night. And thank. Did Nara tell you about? Did she tell you about me calling her asking what happened to the show last night?
No, I did not.
She says, Eunice, it's Monday night.
Yeah.
I told you I was getting old, Phil. I thought the show was on last night.
Memories.
Oh, God. Huh?
Memory is the second thing to go. Hearing is the third.
Oh, don't even get going on that crap.
I'm going to let Everlast take us out with a little what it's like, and I'll see everybody Thursday. Thanks for tuning in.
All right.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Nara. Good night.
Good night.